If you made a New Year's resolution to read more, keep pushing on, my friends. And we have some suggestions for how to do it from one of our own reading gurus, Tracy Thomas, creator and host of the podcast, The Stacks. Tracy, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
So happy New Year, Tracy. Since you and I spoke, we talked on this show with others about resolutions and how to set reasonable goals to keep going on our resolutions. How do you advise folks who say, you know what, Tracy, I want to read more? How?
So one of the things that I am a big advocate for is setting reading goals, getting really specific about what it is you want to read. Do you want to read more books in general? Do you want to read more long-form articles? How many books? How many articles? How often? How many times a day? Do you have a goal to read more books by Black authors? How many more? So for me, it's all about setting really concrete, specific goals.
Okay, so give me a for instance, for starters, if I haven't read a book in a long time, is it I want to read this one author, I want to read these three authors, I want to read a book in these three categories this year? Help with the specificity, if you would.
Yes. I mean, for sure, any of those things work great. I'll tell you how I got back into reading. I got back into reading by setting a goal to read 12 books in 1 year. So a book a month. And I was really, really loud about it. I told my husband, I told my friend, I let everybody know. And every time I finished a book, I posted a picture of it on social media so that I felt accountable. And when I would finish a book, I would be so excited and then I'd pick something else. And sometimes I would pick a book and I wouldn't like it. And instead of pushing through, which I think a lot of people feel like they have to do, I would advise folks to put the book down, pick up another book, because it's going to take you twice as long to finish a book you're not into as it is to finish something that you pick up and it just speaks to you and you could read it in an afternoon. Another goal that I love is 10 pages a day. It could be of anything. It could be a book of poetry. It could be a play. It could be a novel. It could be whatever you're interested in that day, but committing to 10 pages a day. Because if that's all you read, you'll at least finish one or two books in the year at the very, very minimum. But what I've found is some days I only get 10 pages in and some days I get 150 pages in because I have that practice set up.
Okay. And execution, say joining a book club, pros and cons, or buying an e-reader, you know, which of those things to kind of make this happen make sense to you?
I mean, yes. Join a book club if that interests you. If the thought of having to talk about a book after the fact makes you want to, you know, throw up a little bit, don't join a book club. I think that you should make reading as pleasurable as possible. So for some people, having a community where you can go and talk and hash out what you liked and didn't like is a great thing. But for some people, all they want to do is read a book in peace and quiet in their home, cuddled up alone and not have to talk or think about anything else. So for those people, don't join a book club and don't feel bad about not joining a book club. As far as an e-reader, I have an e-reader that I love that I will read the same book sometimes on audio, e-reader, and physical copy. And then I can always be reading it no matter if I'm in the car, if I'm in line somewhere, because with my e-reader, I can also get it on my phone. Or if I'm at home, I can read the physical copy. So if that's something that's within your budget, I highly suggest having some sort of e-way to read. And then the other thing I would say, as far as like how to do it, I use Goodreads, and there's also a great app that I use called the Story Graph, both of which will track your reading. You can input where you are in the book. You can save other books that you might want to read. And that's a great just a resource to have where you can look and see, oh, this book's coming out. I'm going to forget it if I don't write it down. And you just click want to read. And you have a whole list of books you want to read. And as you read, you know, you can rate the book. You can leave little notes for yourself. And that's sort of a nice way if you're a little apprehensive about a book club to be able to get your thoughts out without having to go to a meeting and bring deviled eggs and the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I understand. Well, I have to say your recommendation, The Swimmers, is our first book at our book club. So we'll be ready end of the month. Okay. Speaking of your recommendations, let's go to 2023 and what you've suggested for us. One of them is the memoir, A Living Remedy by Nicole Chung. Now, I got a chance to meet her at a book fair in Washington, D.C. when her first book came out, All You Can Ever Know. What do you like about this one?
So that's a great place to start. Her first memoir, All You Can Ever Know, is a fantastic story about her transracial adoption. She's Korean. She was adopted by a white family in Oregon. And that is just one of the most beautiful memoirs ever. And so when I saw Nicole had another memoir, I said, this is an instant buy for me. And in this book, which I'm so interested about, is it's about grief and it's about family. And when Nicole's first book came out, her father passed away around that time. And so this book sort of explores that grief. And then a few years later in 2020 with COVID, her mother was diagnosed with cancer. So it also talks about where is home, what is home, what does it look like to be separated from the people that you love and to be grieving a life and a home that you're away from in a time where you can't be together? And it just explores sort of family bonds and hardship and tragedy. And Nicole is such a beautiful writer that I know she'll take great care with this story.
Yeah. Okay. Another recommendation. This year, 2023, marks 30 years since the siege by law enforcement officials of the Branch Davidian compound in Waco, Texas. I remember that. It began in late February and ended on April 19th with an FBI raid. We may remember the Branch Davidian compound burned and nearly 80 people inside died. Not surprisingly, there are several books about Waco coming out this year on this anniversary year. Do you have a couple that stand out for you?
Yeah, so there's this sort of trifecta that I'm really excited about. And I have to disclaim, the events at Waco are something that happened when I was young, and I always was sort of obsessed with them. So this year, when I saw that there were three books coming out, I've dedicated my life to reading them. So the first one is called Waco by Jeff Gwynn, who people might know. He wrote a book on Jim Jones and Charles Manson, and then he's also written like 25 other books. And his book really focuses on what happened and why, and it sort of goes through, you know, minute by minute, but also the history of the Branch Davidians, the history of David Koresh, and also what was going on in law enforcement, you know, giving the whole story context. The second one is called Waco Rising, and it's by Kevin Cook. And it's about a little bit more about what happened, but also the legacy of Waco. I'm sure many folks remember that Timothy McVeigh was inspired by the events at Waco. He actually went there during the standoff period.
The Oklahoma City bomber years later.
Yes, exactly. 2 years to the day, actually, later. So he was heavily inspired by that, and as are a lot of current day militias and those types of things. And so in Kevin Cook's book, he's exploring that legacy of Waco a lot more, which I think is really interesting. And then the third book is by Stephen Talty, and it's called Koresh. And this one is going to focus much more on David Koresh himself, the man, how he got to be who he was, how he created this, or how he built on this community and sort of took over the reins and led them towards what he would say was a biblical revelation.
And finally, Tracy, there is a fiction book you want us to keep a lookout for. Tell us about Chain Gang All-Stars.
Yes. So this is another second book from an author whose first book I just love. The author is Nana Kwame Adjei-Brenya, and his first book was called Friday Black, and it was a short story collection, a little sci-fi, a little speculative, a little horror in it. And this novel is, I mean, it sounds incredible. It's about a group of women in a correctional facility who fight gladiator style to the death for their freedom. So again, it has this satire, this speculative fiction, this sci-fi, and it also is a critique and a conversation around mass incarceration, for-profit prisons, and all of those things. Nana is so creative, and in his first book, the imagination that he had, I can only imagine, has been just blown out of the water with this one, not to mention just becoming a better writer over time and having a few years under his belt. So I'm really excited for this novel. I have heard people say it is going to be the novel of the year. I don't know if that's true, but this is the one that I am the most excited about.
That's Tracy Thomas with suggestions for how to read more and what to read in 2023. Tracy Thomas is, of course, host of the Stacks podcast. Tracy, thank you as always.
Thank you.